Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Welcome. This coming Thursday is a once-a-year day designated to give thanks, right? And I think we all would know that and hope that every day that you wake up is a day to be thankful. And we have a God that the first words out of your mouth when you wake up is, thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the way you take care of our families. Thank you for health. Thank you. Those should be the first things and not the thoughts of, oh boy, about 1 o'clock, I got that football game to watch or whatever that may be, right? That's okay. I mean, there's nothing. God didn't make us to sit around and mope. He wants us to have fun and love and life more abundant, right? Amen. It's not about, we're not boring people just because we're Christians. We like to have fun. We like to enjoy life. But just always remember that the only reason you can do that is because He gives it to you. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of joy. Lots to be thankful for, right? So don't just make this coming Thursday the one day. It's a good day to remember family. It's a good day to remember your friends. It's a good day to eat turkey and ham.
Yeah.
But sometimes we make it all about that part rather than thank you, Lord. So if you would please stand with me as we pray. And just a reminder that this microphone is here for you. If you have a testimony or something, a word to share, or just even a prayer or something, anything that the Lord gives you, feel free to come up here and take this microphone. So, Father, we do thank you, Lord, for just who you are for each one of us, Lord. You meet us where we are. And, Lord, it's not about our performance and how we are and what we do, Lord. It's about our heart that comes before you every morning, Lord. We are new every morning, Lord. And because of you, Lord, we can expect that today is not going to be like yesterday. It's going to be better. Even if yesterday was good, this is a better day. So we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, for your love for our families. Thank you, Lord, for health. Thank you, Lord, for the air that we breathe, Lord, even something that we just sometimes take for granted. All that we are, Lord, is because of you. And so, Lord, we come this morning to give you our praise and our worship. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Remain.
We did this song last week. And I've been enjoying worship since very early this morning. And I think that God's really been I've really just been enjoying the time, right? The Bible, Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him." Listen, yes. I think this morning I've been enjoying worship since I woke up. And the truth is that it doesn't matter where we're at or what's going on or what's happening. Worship is one of the greatest offerings that we can give to God.
Yes.
And with this being Thanksgiving week, I mean, I'm always giving thanks because God's given us some amazing blessings and some great things. But this morning, I just believe we're going to be receiving some things in this worship service, because I know that offering is just an amazing thing. The ability to just pour out and give. There's a song that I was listening to this morning that I was already telling them about. And it says in there that there's a couple of parts, but one of the parts that really stood out to me was talking about living richly in the world, but a spiritual beggar. Let's not be spiritual beggars this morning. Let's go after God full throttle, wanting all of the things that he's got for us. Because just like Pastor John said, we got life more abundantly. It doesn't matter what seems to be happening in your life right now. You have life more abundantly. And you've got blessings that are poured on you because you are royalty in a kingdom that God's got for you. So let's just get excited this morning about what he has. Hallelujah.
You know, I don't think any of us have made it yet, have we? Are we in his image yet? We walking around like Jesus did? Are we seeing healing miracles yet? Are we walking in his word every day? We waking up saying, thank you, Lord. Going to bed at night saying, thank you, Lord. We got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there.
This song reminds me of how powerful our breath is. Remember David when he was sent to the war to bring some food to his brothers and see how the war was going. He thought that things would be okay, but when he got there, he was embarrassed. He said, "What's going on with all of you? What's going on? I come in the name of the King, the God of Israel." And he spoke these things with his breath, and he conquered Goliath. He slung that rock into Goliath's forehead. And I believe that rock was going supernatural, supersonic speed, actually, because it was the Spirit of God in him that caused that accuracy and for the Goliath to fall. It's our breath that causes the giants to fall in our life. It's our breath, the things that we speak, that causes us to overcome this world. Yes. We are overcomers. Yes. The Bible says to overcome those who overcome, and the Lord gives us all these promises in the book of Revelation to all the churches. Those who overcome get this, that, and the other. It's a beautiful thing, especially if you put them all together, put all those overcoming things together, and it's a beautiful thing. Are we overcomers in this church? Do we believe in the word? Do we speak out with our breath as loud as we can? This is what we're called to do, to be kings like David was a king. Thank you.
So this Wednesday in youth group, we're talking about like identity. It's like, who are you because you believe in Christ? You have Christ, right? And I think a lot of times we kind of forget about what that means. You know, that I don't know about you, but I've gone through some stuff lately. Anybody else? No, nobody? Everybody's good? I'm glad. Yeah. But no, like going through some stuff, right? And, you know, it's this thing too, is like when you're praying, do you think God's going to answer you? But so many times if we still, even though we prayed about it, it's like, okay, I'm going to wait for your answer, God, but I'm going to do this while I'm waiting, right? And try to fix it yourself. And that kind of answer isn't going to bring glory to God. What brings glory to God is let him answer your prayer. A lot of times it's difficult to wait on that. Now, we probably still have to do something, but it has to be what God's asking us to do. Not what we think is right, not what we think is going to fix some issues. But we need to pray about those things, and we need to let God act on them. And, you know, I just want to encourage people who might be hurting right now, might not think that God sees them, but this is in Psalm 34:17-19, it says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. And all who believe in Christ are righteous. He delivers them from all their troubles. Not some, all. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all.
This is a short story that I have of what God did for me recently. If you've ever been in that place where your heart seems like you can't see anything else, sometimes you feel dry. We live in a desert, it's dry. Thank God it's dry. I like dry. I hate humidity. So I'm in the right place. But recently I was in one of those dry places and I came to Henry, our pastor, our multi-talented pastor. Plays bass, plays guitar. I've heard him sing. He won't get on a mic, but I've heard him sing. I came to him, I said, Henry, I'm in one of those places where my heart's not fully engaged with my Father again. I hate that. I don't like it when it's like that. I know that he has reasons for it, but I don't enjoy that. So, you know what he said to me? He said, you speak in tongues? I said, yes, I do. Thank you, Lord, I've got that gift. He said, go home and pray every day for 2 hours in the spirit. Just begin to praise God. Just thank him. You don't know what you're saying. He knows what you're saying. Amen. He has a prayer for you that you have no idea even what it's about. But it can heal you. It can take you from where you are dry to where you are submersed again in the river of God, where the Spirit of God flows through you. It passes through your bones and your heart and your hard heart and your, it wasn't 20 minutes after I started praying in tongues that I did it on the way home. I live down in Rio Rico, so I got a half an hour both ways that I can pray. I'm on my way home and I'm praying in tongues, and it was not 20 minutes. And the spirit of heaviness fell off of me, and joy returned back in again. The peace of God that passes all understanding landed on me again. You know, they say when you get born again and you're born again in the spirit, it's not just one time. It happens over and over in your life. There are times when you're going to be dry. God is going to put the spirit back on you. He's going to revive you. That's what it means. You go out of this darkness and this place where you can't feel anything, and God brings you back to life. He restores you. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. That's what worship is for me. Worship is when I sit down, this is where I belong. This is where I belong. And it, bringing in the presence of God to you guys, we are all like that. That is our calling. In the Old Testament, we might have been called Levites because we worked in the temple. We didn't handle the instruments of communion and stuff, but this is an instrument. This is the instrument God's given to me. So I worship. So go home this week when you're by yourself. Find a closet. Find some place where you go. Get down on your knees and just start singing to him. Start singing out of your heart. Let it flow. This is the stream of life that God gives us. where we immerse ourselves into the stream of life. Amen.
I'm sorry. I was trying to find a scripture because I know that God had it. I'm not sure who this is for, but you know, I let what Abe was talking about when he was talking about, like, if there's people hurting, I could really feel it in my heart too. And the Galatians, it's Galatians 2:20. It says, "I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God." You know, we don't have to do anything by ourselves. As a matter of fact, when we try to do it by ourselves, a lot of times we make it worse. But it's not us, it's who lives in us that begins that new work in our life. And when you're going through things in your life, it doesn't matter how low you feel or how bad you feel it's gotten. God knows exactly where you're at. And you don't have to fix anything. All you got to do is go to God. Because He has every answer, every direction, every single thing that we need all the time. And it's, you know, this morning there's been like this recurring theme in my mind, even while we went through worship all this morning now. And it's just, you know, our worship is an offering. I said it in the beginning. And it can be such a powerful tool in moments where we really feel like we're struggling, because it really is the opposite, right? Of what you could wallow in what you're going through or what's happening. But God, when you worship, it does something, because it's now the opposite of what you feel. It's taking that moment and saying, "I'm not going to sit here in this, but I'm going to worship you in it." Yeah. Because regardless of what I'm going through, I'm giving it to you. There's that song that I was talking about this morning. It's called Honest Offering. And that's one of the things that I love about it, is it talks about He loves every broken piece of our honest offering. You don't gotta fix anything to come to God. You don't have to have anything prepared or set or made a certain way before you come to God. You need God, go to God. He's ready, willing, and waiting for us. Go to Him. Even if it's just that you don't know what to do in those moments, go and worship. And allow Him to move through you and do things for you. Because just like that scripture says, it's not you, it's who lives in you. Amen. That's powerful. It's why if we begin to realize that if we just put Him first, that we will, just like Steve was saying, begin to display the image of the One that we're created after. Because He didn't create us in His image to only give us pieces. He created us in His image to give us it all. It's us who puts limitations on the pieces, but it's Him who says, "No, I'm ready and willing to just pour it into your life. I'm willing to give it. I'm wanting to give it. I'm wanting to place more and give more, and just that life more abundantly." It's a real thing, because God doesn't desire for you to just go through day to day and live a life here and there and everything's okay and I'm just making ends meet. He desires for you to have more. He desires for you to have blessing. He desires for you to have more than even the human mind can comprehend. Yes. The Bible tells us, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and our minds can't even comprehend the things that God has for those who love Him. Yes. There's no requirements on it. It's just those who love him, those who come to him, those who just seek after him. In those moments where you're hurting, those moments where you're struggling, it doesn't matter where you're at, just go to him. Because you don't even know what he has for you. You don't even know. We may think that we know what, how far we could go, or what our goals are, or what our plans are, what all those things are. We may think that we know those things, but God tells us in his word that we don't even comprehend the things that he has for us. Because it's even beyond what we think. It's even beyond the little things that we've set for ourselves. It's beyond even that. So as we go into this last song, I just want to encourage you. I'd like for everybody to please stand up. I know you all just sat down. But this morning, I just want you to bring an honest offering. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever's happening, just lay it down. Enjoy the presence of God. So often worship can be, it can feel just like that hug that you need, right? It just, you can feel his presence just wrap around you. So this morning, as we go into this song, just allow him to do that this morning. Just allow him to just give you that peace that passes all understanding, that joy unspeakable, all of the things that he has for you.
Hallelujah. Oh, everybody give him a clap offering. Hey, as you're going through your week, Is this on? As you're going through your week, sing that song to him. This is how I thank the Lord, right? When you're in Safeway carrying your groceries, walking out, man, you might look funny. Is that all right? How many know it's okay to look funny for Jesus? Oh, yeah. Is that right? Come on. This is how I thank the Lord. This is putting your shopping cart back in the run. This is how I thank the Lord. I will tell you, folks are going to see it. They're going to say, what is that? Say, it's okay. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a week of Thanksgiving, so all the messages are titled Thanksgiving. Last week it was Thanksgiving God for your kingdom. This week is Thanksgiving for life. How many say amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. How many like life? And God wants to give you life and life more abundant. Can you say amen to that? I was getting when Steve was talking, I was getting a little bit, yeah. You know what I mean, but let me just say this to you. I remember one day I was for 1 year I was a Mr. Mom. I took care of my son. He was like 2 years old, babe, or 1 year old, huh? He was 1 year old, yeah. And he was 1 year old. I got laid off at the mine, and it was kind of crazy because in my prayers, the Lord kept telling me, "You need to sell that." We had bought a 1979. Scout, International Scout. Is anybody, it's like a Jeep. Really nice, man. Rosie's dad's house was the highest house on the hill in Bisbee. And so that Jeep would just, I mean, that Scout would just climb that hill like nothing. I loved it. It was lime green with a white top. Yeah, had a tan interior. It had a big V8, 303, I don't know if you remember what number, but it was a beautiful vehicle. We bought it brand new. And I'm praying. The Lord said, "You need to get rid of that." They go, "What?" He said, "Yeah, you need to get rid of that." And I said, "No, well, Lord, am I hearing you? Get thee behind me, Satan." No, no. I said, "Lord," but every time he goes, "Hey, you need to get rid of that." And so I knew we all knew at the mind that things were coming to. We were thinking that prices were dropping. We thought, well, there's going to be a layoff. So I went upstairs and the guy's name was George. I said, "George, hey, am I going to get laid off?" He looked at me and said, "Henry, don't worry about it, man. There's going to be at least 20 guys under you." All right. I felt good. I go home and get in prayer. And the Lord says, "You need to get rid of it. It's not going to work right." I go back again. George says, "No, man, at least 20 guys under you." I kind of felt like George knew what he was talking about. Well, about 2 weeks later, the cutoff line was two guys ahead of me, and I was out. Is that right? And the Lord knew. But I had listened. I listened to the Lord. I went and traded it in, got this blue Chevy van. Had no windows in except for the windshield and the back windows and side door windows. But it was a panel van. Had nothing in it. We put benches in there to haul kids to church. But one thing I didn't have was this good, big old payment. So anyway, I'm telling you, I don't know why I got into that, but I'm at home taking care of my son. It's raining. It had started raining quite a few days before, and the monsoons at this time, there was no bridge going out to Elephant Head. It was just a pad that went across the riverbed, and the river was running. So we had to drive out the back road. And Rosie was going to work. She worked at the bank. I'm staying home. I'm Mr. Mom. I could make a diaper look like Prada. Is that right? I don't know. I could do a diaper, man. He looked like he was wearing some custom-made shorts. Isn't that right, babe? Yeah, I mean, there was no Pampers. None of that around me. But, I did real good. And I picked him up and changed him, and he was kind of falling asleep. So I set him back in his crib, and I began to pray in the Spirit. I just prayed in the Spirit. Folks, I will tell you, ever since I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, there's not been a day that I haven't prayed in the Spirit. And the longer I've lived, the longer I know that praying in the Spirit is so important to the man and woman of God. Can you say amen? And so I was praying this, you know, and all of a sudden, whew, I just start, man, I was praying. Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't know if you know what I mean, but man, there things were coming out of my mouth. I'm praying, I'm weeping, and I'm crying, and man, praying like crazy. And I looked at my son after a while. I stopped and I looked and says, man, I don't know what's going on in your life, but man, Lord really unloaded on you, I thought. See, I mean, no, we don't know what we're talking generally now. We don't know. Rosie called me just a little after. She had gotten run off the road. And I realized what that prayer was about. And so I know that God has a way. They call them times of refreshing, but they're very times of being vital with God, because God knows what's coming towards you. Do you know that? How many of you know that God sees everything from way before us and things that are happening, and God has a way of taking care of it with us? Can you say amen? Can I just tell you that who knows what kind of things you miss because you've been spending time praying in the Spirit with the Lord? What kind of sicknesses and diseases might be heading your way, but because you're praying in the Spirit? Can I just say, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. How many know that? So this fullness of the joy of the Lord, ooh, can I tell you, everybody knows that laughter's good. Is that right? When you laugh, it's good, man. It's good for you. Amen? How about the joy of the Lord? If there's anything that needs to go viral in our world today, is the joy of the Lord. Amen. All across the earth. Amen? And it's going to happen because God says, he says, my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How many are ready to see that? Oh, yeah. Ooh, come on. I'm ready. Amen? Hallelujah. And guess where that glory's at? Guess where that glory's at? Eh? Yeah, that's right. It's in you. The glory that's in you, God is desiring for it to shine like crazy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Be quickened by his Spirit. How many like quickened? That word quickened. It's what the Holy Ghost does for us. He quickens us. It's vitamin Q for you. How's that? Yeah. Yeah. My doctor, I don't have a doctor, but I got Jesus, but he said, hey, you look pretty good. And I asked the vitamins I'm taking. Man, what kind of vitamins do you take? Vitamin Q. What's that? I'm quickened by the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got a big jar of it. Come on, man. Lays on my kitchen table. Next to my bed, I got, where'd my jar go? Oh, it's my Bible. I don't even know where I'm at. Sorry, folks. Let me get my Bible. Yeah, there's somebody lend my notes out and everything. Did anybody see my Bible laying over there? Atta boy, Rick. Hey, Rick, if it wasn't for you, bro, you're almost like my wife. No, I'm just kidding. Keeps me straight. Yeah. Praise God. Rick goes, oh boy. Oh boy. Praise God. I tell you, folks, the Holy Spirit is doing a work in the world today. Can you say amen? Yeah. It's not just in America. Can you say amen? Yeah. We are not just just one nation under God. Amen. I know. Don't get excited. You know, yeah, it's part of our one nation under God. But guess what? We, as the body of Christ, we are an international nation. Can you say amen?
Amen.
One nation under God. Can you say amen to that? Folks, the enemies of this country are not the same enemies that we have. Can you say amen? Can I tell you, man, hey, there can be some good brothers and sisters over in Russia, over in what our nation might call it, well, they're enemies. Well, guess what? God has a way of touching nations. Can you say amen? He told Jesus, he says, you are my son. This day I've called you. This day I've begotten you. And then he tells Jesus, ask of me and I'll give you the nations for an inheritance. Can you say amen to that? How many of you know that God's after this world? Yes. Not just America. God bless America. Yeah, God bless Mexico. God bless, come on, the world. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. I don't even know where I'm going with this. But I know it must be that y'all need to hear it. Come on. Amen? Hey, y'all need Jesus.
Yes.
I got a t-shirt. I think Abe bought me this t-shirt. Was that you, Abe? It says, y'all need Jesus. I said, man, what's he saying to me? Abe, was that your t-shirt? Did you give me that t-shirt?
I don't know, but I got one too.
You did? Okay, maybe somebody decided they want to. Praise God. Oh, man. God is good. Can you say amen?
Yep.
Amen. You know, Thanksgiving for Life. That's the title of this. If you will, if you turn to John chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. A very familiar place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John. How many love the Word of God? How many know the Word of God says here a little, there a little? Precept upon precept, line upon line, shall anything be established. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, you don't just pick one word and go, yeah, build up. I mean, you allow the Holy Spirit to put line upon line, precept upon precept. Is that okay? Because the Holy Spirit is desiring to show us truth. He's always wanting to place truth within us. How many want truth in you? Oh boy, come on, man. The Bible, I want truth. The Word of God says, out of the abundance of a man's heart, the mouth will speak. I don't want to speak things that are contrary to God's word. I don't want to speak things that are moving people backwards. I desire, my heart is to move the whole body of Christ forward. I really truly believe that's why God has placed me here. This is not something I've wanted to do. This is not something that I desired to do. I love teaching young people.
Amen.
I love getting in that van and driving them to wherever, Austin, Texas, or wherever, Florida, get in a plane, go to Florida with all these kids. I love doing that. But all of a sudden, God says, no, man, I got some other young people for you to teach. Yeah, these youngins are maybe up to 70 already. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, always. Come on, God. Glory to God. God, come on, God. They might be a little slow, God. You know. No, man. How many of you know that you are all His children?
Yes.
You belong to Him.
Yes.
How many believe that the dew of your youth is upon you?
Yeah.
How many believe that the dew of your youth is upon you?
Amen.
How many of you believe that the dew of your youth is on you?
Yes.
Oh, believe it. If you have to, call your mirror a liar. Look at that thing and say, man, you're a liar, man. Yeah. Not you in the mirror, but I'm talking about my mirror. You're a liar, man. I have the dew of my youth upon you. That's what the Word of God says. He says that He gives you the youth like an eagle. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that okay? Amen. How many say amen to that? I mean, I'll tell you, man, the more you believe God, the more active you're going to become. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
I don't know about spending too many hours in front of the TV. I don't know if that's good for you. How many say amen?
Yeah.
That's not good for you. Amen?
Amen?
Things go crazy there. Is that all right? Yeah. Oh, boy, I don't know. Hey, you know this, that God is calling on the body of Christ to believe him. Believe me, he says. Believe what I tell you is what he says. Is that okay?
Amen.
Oh, man. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Trust him in what he says to you. If you don't know what he's saying to you, find out. If it sounds like what I'm saying to you is contrary to you, find out. But at least get it checked. At least check. Just don't go, oh, yeah, well, that's not me. There's too much of that saying that's just not me. I don't believe that way. There's too much of that. Believe what he tells you when he gives you a vitamin Q. Is that okay?
Amen.
When he quickens you, find out what he's saying. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Here in John chapter 3, let's read the starting at verse 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. His first statement, we know you are a teacher come from God. Crazy. I love it, man. I really do believe that Nicodemus was being as true and honest as he could with Jesus. Maybe not everybody believed that he was a teacher come from God, but he did. Can you say amen? Nicodemus was sharing his heart. He says, we believe. Who's we? Who you got in your, who's with you, Nicodemus? What are you doing here at night? No, we believe that you're a teacher. I believe Nicodemus tell him, hey, I believe it. For no man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with you. Jesus answered and said, I like Jesus. How many like Jesus' answers? Jesus, man, I love Jesus, man. Every time he answers these guys, he gives them something. Jesus doesn't just mess around with words. Is that okay? I mess around with words a little bit. Is that okay? Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Somebody told me, you know what? Quit trying to be funny up there. It just comes out. I'm not trying to be funny. It just comes out. It's just who I am, I guess, because anyway. But Jesus doesn't mess around. He says, verily, verily, I say to you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And I will tell you, he was serious. I don't get it. What are you talking about, Jesus? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then he tells us this, marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. Hey, you must be born again. Don't marvel about it. Because Nicodemus was in that area where he's going, what are you talking about? And he says, listen to my words. You must be born again. I believe Jesus was giving him a quickening word that would begin to take him into things that he never believed. But you will find that Nicodemus was part of the Pharisees team that believed Jesus. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
He believed when at the cross, Nicodemus, Nicodemus was even trying to hey, we don't judge a guy before we hear him. What are you doing? And you know, they told him, hey, go ahead, Nicodemus, shut up. Go and look. Does a prophet come out of Nazareth? Come on. And so I believe Nicodemus was on a road of quickening, if you will. Can you say amen to that? God wanted to quicken him. The Holy Spirit is going to quicken him. So Jesus said, don't marvel at it. Don't worry about it. The words that I say to you, you must be born again. Oh, man. How many of you are born again in here?
Woo!
Come on, man. How many have been born by the Spirit? I mean, the Word of God says it in John chapter 6, verse 63 says this. Jesus was telling his disciples, he says, it's the Spirit that quickens. Vitamin Q. It's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits what?
Nothing.
Nada. The words that I speak, they are what?
Spirit.
They're spirit and they're life. They're not only spirit, they're life. They're not only life, but they're spirit. Is that right? They are spirit and life is what he's telling his disciples this. John chapter 1, verse 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Is that right? Correct? The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God is Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, basic 101. Is that right? Yeah, we know that, Pastor. Yeah, keep going. Okay. Verse 14, I guess it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Said it before, and I said, grace is not only is grace, I mean, I was taught as a young Christian that grace is unmerited favor. And when I asked the question, Lord, if grace is unmerited favor, what is mercy? Well, that's unmerited favor. The Lord, I mean, I was confused in this thing until I looked up the word grace and it says charis. It has favor in the definition. But the first thing you're going to read about grace in the definition in the Greek, it says this, that is divine influence upon your heart. Not on this. Look at your neighbor and say, not on your head.
Not on your head.
It's divine influence on your heart and its reflection in your life. The influence. What is divine influence? I mean, we know what being under the influence is when you're driving your vehicle. What influence are you in when Brother Steve was driving home the other night? What influence were you in, brother? He was under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? How many of you know it's better to be under the influence of the Holy Ghost than anywhere else? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on. Come on, man. You know that God speaks to you more than you think. You know he speaks words to you. Don't say that. I told him not to say that, but he said it. You know, the Holy Spirit tells us, hey, slow down. Oh boy, I don't know. I don't want to say anything about my wife right now. So, yeah, I get my best sermons from my wife. Praise God. That's it. Hallelujah. We desire that God quicken us. Can you say amen to that? I just want to be quickened by you, Father. Why do you come to service? Are you desiring to hear God give you something new? That's a good, I mean, that should be the thing. God, I want to worship you and want to hear something that you have for me personally. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for some religious reason to be here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm not looking for some kind of book report to come out. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I am looking for the Spirit of God to quicken me, to place a word on my heart that I can live the next few hours for some of you. Can you say amen? Some of you need a word this morning just for you, just to live the next few hours, the next few days. We need to be quickened by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Like never before.
Amen.
His job is to quicken us. That's why he's here. That's why Jesus sent him. That's why the Father sent another comforter, that we might be quickened.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. David said it this way in Psalm 119, verse 50, he says this. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort and my affliction for your what?
Word.
Folks, sometimes we get afflicted. Is that right? Sometimes we need comfort. I will tell you, go to the Holy Spirit, go to God and say, God, I'm going to pray right now in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, would you just speak to my heart? Maybe you don't, maybe you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let me just say that it's so much easier than you think because he's already dwelling in you. Just begin to ask him. Go to his word and look and read words about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Read words about what the Spirit will do to your spirit. It's a lot easier than you think. There was a guy named, he was a pastor of a church, and his name was Dave Robinson. Everybody heard of Dave Robinson? And he was set out. He goes, that talking in tongues, mumbo jumbo stuff. He goes, yeah, I'm going to prove him wrong. He's looking up scriptures. God baptized him in the Holy Ghost while he was asleep. Whoa. He woke up speaking in tongues. Can you say amen to that? I said, man, you know, because he was a man of influence. He was a pastor. He got thrown out of his church. Is that right? Well, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He was a big time evangelist. But God took him a little further. Can you say amen to that? God's not trying to be mean to folks. He's just trying to, let me just help you a little further. Let me get you a little bit further along. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost will do so much for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Quicken me, God. Quicken me. Oh, boy. Psalm 119, verse 93 says this. I will never forget your precepts, for with them you've quickened me. Amen. Come on, man. With your precepts, Lord, you have quickened me. Can I tell you how kind of sad it is if you just get away from God and quit allowing him to charge your spirit? Don't do that. Today, starting with Thanksgiving every morning, go into the Word of God and say, God, today, Lord, that crazy pastor at the show, he said, you will quicken me. So, Lord, I'm ready. Get quick, Lord, get to quickening. Amen? Come on, man. Get to quickening me. Come on, Lord. I tell you, I really believe the Holy Spirit saying, come on, man. Let me take you on a little ride. That's why they called Speedy Gonzalez Quickstro. Was that him? I don't know. Never mind. Sorry. Blast from the past. Who cares? Yeah, all right. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see what the Word of God says right there? You see, he's washed away your sins. Can you say, man, the moment you said, God, Jesus, I accept you into my heart. I believe that you died for me. I believe... that you rose again from the dead. He says he washes all your sins away. Amen. His word to you, they're clean. And he says, I quicken you. How many of you know that you died on the cross with him? Amen. You died. There's another scripture, I didn't put it up there, but it says the handwriting of the transgressions that were against you. The handwriting of all those transgressions. Yeah, some of you got a list that long. Some of you got a list that runs out the door. He don't care. He forgave you of all of them. He washed them all away. Look at your neighbor, said all.
All.
They're all gone.
All gone.
All gone. All gone. Gone. Amen?
No end, gone.
The crazy thing about God, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows a future from the beginning.
Amen.
Even those things that are contrary to him that you might do tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, just gluttony like crazy. No.
We can't work later.
Yeah. All those things he knows about. That's why he says you're clean. I washed you clean. I know about you. I already knew you. He knew you. He knew you. He knew you before the foundation of the earth. He died. The Word of God says that he was slain before the foundation of the earth. He knew you, folks. He knew you. And he knew he was going to have you in the earth today for a reason, a purpose, and a plan that he has to reconcile this world in a very visible way, not just, well, I'm a Christian and nobody knows about it. No, it's a very visible way that you belong to him. People at the gas pumps will realize there's something about that young man or that young lady over there. Because I sense something. I feel something. It's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's the quickening of the Holy Ghost. It is divine influence. Divine influence. Divine influence upon the heart. Whew. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says this, and you he has quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Let me just ask you this question. Who has he quickened? The answer is me. Your answer is me. Listen, you he has quickened. Do you believe in Jesus? Did you die for his sins? He quickened you. You're already in the quick. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Is anybody here getting what I'm saying? God has already quickened you to do everything that you need to be doing. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, boy. Here's another. Ephesians 2:5. Look at this one. It says this, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ, for by grace you are saved. Grace, you are saved. What? Divine influence upon your heart. You're saved by it. He says, he's quickened you. Can I tell you, you didn't come here, you didn't get to Christ on your own. You didn't just wake up one day and say, hey, you know, I'm gonna give my heart to Jesus. I don't know anything about him. I'm just gonna give my heart to Jesus because Sally down at Circle K told me to give my heart to Jesus. So I'm gonna give my heart to Jesus. You don't just come that way. The Holy Spirit draws you in to the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? He draws you and then he quickens you. Is that okay? You have been quickened by the Holy Ghost. Somebody might say to me, well, brother, I've never been really, God has never really spoken to me. I never had sensed that quickening. Well, it doesn't matter because the word of God says he's already quickened you just by forgiving your sins. Is that okay? And that quickening, like I said with Nicodemus, Jesus set him on a road where it was going to be quickened and quickened and quickened and quickened all his life. Same with us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Ooh, man, I don't know, man. Quickened by his spirit. 1 Peter 3:18, look at this one. It says, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. What I want you to understand is when you die to yourself, last week we talked a little bit about self. You remember that? Do you remember what we said about self? Guess who the god of this world that blinds the eyes is? It's not the devil, like a lot of us believe. We believe that the devil is the god of this world that blinds. See, the devil is not a god. The word of God says he's a prince. A prince has always fallen short of being the king. Is that okay? He's not a god. He's a liar. Gods don't lie. How do I know? Because I know there's only one God. Yeah. Some of you are saying, well, I don't know about that. Gods don't lie. There's a lot of gods out there. No, they're not gods. There's only one God. And God does not lie. So it says the God of this world has blinded the minds. You know who that is? That's yourself. It's self. It blinds you. It causes you not to see the full picture of what the glory of God wants to be in your life. So you allow yourself to stay alive because you're afraid that God somehow won't take care of you, that you got to do it on your own, that you got to hide what you got from God. No, you can't do that. Let it go. Die. Let it die. And watch what God places within you. Watch how he quickens you. Ooh, hallelujah. Being put to death in the flesh and then quickened. You see, you die to yourself. And then God quickens you. He begins to raise you back up into the mighty man or woman of God, man or woman that you are for his kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That's what he's dying. He says, just die. Just let yourself die and let me raise you up. I will raise you up by my word. I'll place my word in you. I'll raise you up. I'll raise you up. It's a promise. Jesus died to get you there. So let me do it for you. But we're too busy. Well, I just want to be mad at my friend because they, whatever. Amen? Don't do it. Die. Amen? Sounds kind of weird how your pastor says, just die, will you? Just die. How are you going to support your church? I don't know. They're all dead. Come on, man. Come on, man. Sounds kind of weird. But I'm telling you, die to yourself. I will tell you, if you get into this where you understand it, you're going to find that your life begins to clear. Problems that you've been having in for years, they begin to clear because you say, hey, man, it's not me anymore. It is Christ that dwells in me.
Amen.
And you watch what God does. See, God knows that what we need is everything that comes from him. That was 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I'm almost done. I'm going to have you out of here before 12. Is that okay? All right. Everybody goes, yeah. Yeah, you bet you. Thank you, Pastor. For Christ has also... Oh, that's the same one? Can I get 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5? 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves being subjected to their own husbands. Oh, boy. This is very important to us, but it's not the right scripture. I'm sorry. Come on. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. I know where it's at. Let me look real quick. I might have, sorry. Hey, everybody wave at Liz. Everybody wave at Liz. Liz, it's not your fault. I probably gave it to you that way, sis. All right. Sorry. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. That's what it is. I probably wrote it down, 1 Peter 3, 5, though. Nice scripture, by the way. How many say amen? Yeah. Being in subjection to their own husbands. Come on. Everybody say amen. Hey, guys, at least back me up. Amen. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Liz. Here it is. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
According to his abundant mercy for us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. His abundant favor on you, okay?
Amen.
And it says, into an inheritance incorruptible. Everybody say incorruptible.
Incorruptible.
This inheritance that God has given you, it's not corruptible. It won't crumble, it won't fall apart. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. Amen? Reserved in heaven for you. So God has something reserved for you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And can I tell you, if you look at yourself in the kingdom, the word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I think it says, that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He's already given it to you. But they are, like it says here, they are... You know, you might say, well, where are they? Well, they're within you. They are kept in heaven. They're reserved in heaven for you. Because God has a life plan for you. Is that okay?
Yep.
How many of you got a life plan? How many know where to spend your money? You got a life plan? How many of you have made a course for you for your money? Anybody done that? Has God helped you with that? No? We better get off that. Yeah, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And then see this where it says, ready to be revealed in the last time? Ready to be, folks, let me just say this to you. I believe God is desiring to reveal things that you don't know about. He wants to reveal these things to, because how many sense that we are getting close to the last time? See, there is not so much the last day, but the last time. There is a period of time that comes prior to that last day. Can you say amen to that? And he's quickening us. He's giving us, he's opening up the things that he wants to reveal to us. Every one of us has something very, very specific from God that he has for you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And they are stored up and they're kept by the Holy Spirit so you can see them, so you can have them. Right at the time, right when you need it, boom, it shows up. Can you say amen? And that what's cool about it? God is never late.
That's it.
I've heard songs that says, you know, well, you know, hey, he comes, you know, late in the morning or he's never late.
He's always
on time. I got a clock from when I, all my years of service up at the mine, they said, it had a little plate on it. I go, what do you want on the plate? I said, God's time is perfect. Always perfect. God's always on time. Just like, is that right? Come on. So he says, you're kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. Can you say amen? Amen. Ready to be revealed in the last time. I want you to go. I just want to take you this to, because this is something that people are going to look at me and they're going to say, or they're going to look at each other because they're going to say, hey, uh-oh, there he goes again. Oh, there he is. He's on that thing again. God is saying something to us, folks. God is trying to get you to understand some things. Maybe it's not for you, and that's okay, but at least check. Because I believe we are speaking to a generation that's going to take a hold of these things. They're going to say, man, this is God. This is what we're doing. The glory of God in the earth is going to look so much different than what we think it is. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's going to be more glorious than you think it is.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. How many of you know God, the Bible talks about us that we're like grass. Not that kind of grass. The Bible says we're like grass that grows on the, I mean, you know, that Bible talks about that. I mean, and the scriptures gives quite a few references to it, but I just want you to look at Psalm 103 verse 15 through 17. But here's the word of God says, as for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Everybody go, everybody look at your neighbor and say, how sad. That's kind of sad. Yeah. The Bible says a piece of grass is, the flower of the grass is going to fade, and it's going to be nice. It's going to grow, and then it's going to poof and die. That's what the scripture says. And it says, man is like that. Isaiah talks about it. Isaiah 40, verse 6 through 8 says this, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting. Oh, sorry, I got the wrong one. The voice said, cry. I love this scripture. This is, read this whole chapter because it's really beautiful because when it opens up, it's talking about God redeeming Israel. And then it says this, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Look at what he says to cry. He just got through talking about, you know, John the Baptist. Well, right, the scripture prior to this talked about crying in the wilderness. And then the voice said, cry. And he said, well, what do you want me to cry? Look what he says. Look what he says. We're like grass. And he said, what shall I cry? Flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is like a flower of the field. Everybody put your hands up real quick. Just do that. It's like a field. And it says, the grass withers. Now I put them down. And it fades away. Is that right? The flower fades. Next verse. Because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people is grass. So if you learn anything today, just tell everybody when they go, what did you learn in church today? Well, we're grass.
I'm grass.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're all grass. It says this, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now Isaiah is starting to say something. Look at your neighbor, say, he's saying something.
He's saying something.
I ain't got it yet, but he's saying something. Amen. How many say amen? Come on, man. See, God wants to quicken us. Is that right? Amen. Now, here's Peter. He begins to talk about grass. Is that right? 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 22. How many of you know that you cannot purify yourself? Do you know how you get purified in the Lord? You relax and you let him do it. That's the only way. You can't do nothing. Can you say amen? Do you know why you can't do anything? You know why all your attempts to change your life don't work? Do you know why? Because you died at a cross. And you have to depend on him to quicken you out. Do you understand that? You died at the cross. So all your vain attempts, I don't know how many times I tried to quit drinking. They never worked. Never worked until I gave it to the Lord. Boom. Saved. Born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Here it says, seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
See, I will tell you, folks, you got to realize that you died at the cross. The only love that you can have now is not your own natural love. It's not your natural love. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not your natural love. Your natural love isn't good enough. Can you say, oh, I love my son. I love my daughter. I love my family. But that love, the one that comes out of you, not good enough. That's why he says he places us on a cross with him and we die. Romans chapter 5 says, and the love of God, amen? How many of you want love? Woo! The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That's what it says in Romans chapter 5. Take a look at it. I didn't give it to you to look at on the board because I want you to go home and look at it. The love of God. All the fruit of the Spirit doesn't come from you. It comes from the Holy Ghost. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the peace of God. It's the kindness of God. All those fruits come from God. Amen. They're his fruit. And he says, now he says, seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart. Kinda. No? Well, just act like it. No. This is called a fervent love. It's the same kind of love that came out of God the Father that said, I want my son, you're going to go die for them. And that love is a fervent love. See that you love them that way. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, man. And then he says, being born again. Is that right?
Yeah.
Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God. See how you get born again? You get born again by the word of God. We went through that. David talking about how he's quickened. It's by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now we're back to the grass again. Amen. And it says, for all flesh is that grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falleth away. And then he says this, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. What kind of word is it? It's an everlasting word. Is that right? It is forever. The word of God tells us that you must die. It is given unto man once to die and then judgment. Is that all right? Is that what the word of God says? Does anybody know that? The word of God says, "By the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Is that right?
Amen.
Listen to what's being said. Listen to what the word of God is telling you. The incorruptible seed is dwelling in you. There is no way that that life can be overtaken by death. If anything, that death is going to be washed out by life. How many say amen to that? Do you get it? Do you understand?
Yes.
Life overcomes death. Amen. Death is not an issue in the body of Christ. We've all died already.
Right.
And now we're being resurrected by his Spirit or quickened by his Spirit. Folks, hey, if you want to hold on to death, that's up to you. The Word of God's not telling you to do that. The Word of God says that death is definitely an enemy of God. An enemy. See, we hold on to things that are contrary because just because we see people dying around us, we're so adapted to that, we say it's natural and it's normal. Or God would be saying, that is not normal. That is not life. Well, you say, well, I still get to heaven. Well, yeah, you do. You do. But what if God wants a display in you about the life that's more abundant? What if he's desiring for you to show this life? Can you say amen?
Amen.
I will tell you this. This is not easy to preach because there's so many people that say, well, you're an idiot. You're crazy. You know. But see, I'm going to tell you something. God keeps after me. He keeps saying, tell them. Open it up. Let them see. Let them know. Because Christ died for this. Look at the scriptures. Look and see what it says. Righteousness delivers from death. It says it 3 or 4 times in the Proverbs. Not your righteousness, the righteousness that he places upon you. The word of God that lives and abides forever is on you. It's within you. Nothing can remove it from you. You've got to look, folks. Don't believe me. I'm just a man. Don't believe me. But look and see what God might be saying to you. Because I believe with all my heart, he's raising a generation where this thing is just as natural as you got to be born again. It's just as much of a part. See, hey, God wants to open these things. He wants to reveal these things.
Yes.
Sickness has no part in this kingdom.
Amen.
Disease has no part in this kingdom. No part. Can you say amen? Can you guys stand up? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says this. Not by works which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing in the Holy Ghost. I looked up the word regeneration. Does anybody know what regeneration means? It's being made new. Every one of us are new creations in Christ. Can you say amen? You belong to him. His life is in you. It's bigger and better than you've ever imagined. Can you say amen to that? Man, I tell you what, I can sense it. I know that there's people in this house that you're going to carry a message to somebody that's sick, maybe somebody that's dying, maybe somebody that just needs to hear, pummeled by words that people have spoken to them. You're going to carry a message to them that says, hey, man, God has done it all for you. And he loves you and he's going to take care of you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. This is Thanksgiving week, Father, and we give you thanks, Father. We thank you for your word, Father. Your word that abides forever, Lord. It does not and cannot be destroyed. Father, we thank you that you have placed your word in our hearts. So, Father, I pray, Father, that today, as your people go, as they ponder on the things they've heard this morning, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just keep speaking to them, Father. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Brother Abe, can you come on up here? Hallelujah. Where's Brother Abe at? Did he leave? There you go. He's coming. I'm supposed to have him come up and close the service for me. That's the intent on my heart, and I keep forgetting. So go for it, bro.
Oh, okay.
I guess we're going to pray without ceasing then, huh? Yeah? just real quick, I don't know if you've noticed a trend from, like, you know, when Rebecca was preaching,
And then pastor, are we 3 weeks into this? Yeah. I think a big message God is trying to get across to us as people is to stop letting this fleshy stuff get in the way, right? And that we need to be led by the Spirit. So just keep that in mind. And let's go and pray. Lord, I just ask that you help us to realize and recognize when we're getting in the way, Lord. That we're only led by your Spirit, because that is the only way we should be living our lives. Lord, that we're obedient. And God, I just thank you so much that your obedience to you does not lead to some kind of boring life. It doesn't lead to being sad, but instead it's a life of peace and joy. And I just ask that you help us to find that as we live our lives for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.